Now it's time for drama. And in tonight's Radio 2 Theatre, we present John Inman, Russell Grant, and Duncan Norvell in a new play by Alan Bleasdale, The Boys from the Pink Stuff. Set against the violent background of Agadir, the play...
No.
What?
That's next week.
Oh. Well, what's this week, then?
It's this!
Radio 2, in a fit of frolicsome coltishness, is as happy as a clam at high water to bring you Hudwinks, starring Roy Hudd as Cynthia Payne, and four others with the scars to prove it. This week...
Dead men don't eat pilchards. Los Angeles, the city of angels. My city. I can understand why it's a sprawling metropolis of crime, greed, lust, and corruption. A paradise for pimps, muggers, shysters, and hoods. A violent jungle of murder, rape, and gang warfare. But what bugs me is why we're twinned with Stevenage. I'm a cop. Detective Bert Chisel of the LAPD is the name stamped in my ID. I was parking my Chevy on Sunset, feeling pretty well pleased with myself. I just solved the case of the unwrapped Egyptian mummy found on the beach. It was Joan Rivers sunbathing. When the car radio crackled into life, it was the chief, back at work after his scuba diving vacation had been ruined by a hungry shark.
Jiggle?
Sir.
I want your butt in my office, and I mean now.
I could understand why the chief was mad. For him, marriage was now just a spectator sport. I threw the shift into drive and pointed the Chevy towards headquarters.
They calling me.
Hey, yeah. Nice work, Kowalski. So, you're the punk who's been terrorizing the neighborhood, huh?
What do you mean, terrorizing the neighborhood?
You're a Jehovah's Witness, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right, book him, Kowalski. Book him. Lock him in the cage.
Hi, Sarge.
Hey, Chisel. The chief's been...
Chisel, get in here.
It was obvious the chief had got out of the wrong side of the bed. He had a putty stuck on his foot. I stubbed out the lucky and ambled my 6-foot frame into his office.
Chisel, I've had the commissioner on my back again.
Your secret's safe with me, Chief.
Quit the wisecracks, wise guy. Tell me, Chisel, how many arrests have you made in the last 12 months, huh?
Well, I can't say exactly, Chief, but it must be...
I'll tell you how many arrests you made, Chisel. None.
As many as that, eh?
January, blank. February, blank. March, blank. April, off sick.
I was convalescing after an operation.
Chisel, it doesn't take a month to recuperate from having your ears syringed.
Pardon?
Now, just cut that out, Chisel. I'm giving you one chance. One last chance. A chance to prove that you're more intelligent than a 10-year-old. Louse it up and you're handing your catapult. Got that?
Right, Chief.
Now... How's your geography?
As good as the next American. Why?
Because I'm sending you to London.
Where's that?
Oh, somewhere in Europe. Scotland Yard are holding mafia supergrass Tony Marino. We got extradition papers. I want you to bring him back.
Tony Marino. The name hit me like a sudden blast of John McEnroe's halitosis. So Tony Marino had finally surfaced. Tony Marino. Tony. Tony. Tony Marino. Tony Marino.
Any questions?
Yeah, who's Tony Marino?
I called him a file, Chisel. Get on it.
The chief gave me a stack of lowdown on the case and an airline ticket to London. I needed to pack a few things, so I drove back to my apartment at 471-8369 West 47th and Marine Boulevard. There was no mail. There never was, because no one could remember the address. I settled down to read the file on Tony Marino. Unaware that 6,000 miles away, the dons of the British leg of the mafia were gathering in London.
Hey, all right, Don.
I'm a fine Don. See.
See.
Gentlemen. What I have to say is not easy for me.
Why are not, Godfather?
Because I've run out of the strepsils, that's why. Grazie. Now, I call it a family's together.
Oh, look, excuse me, Godfather, but isn't it mafia tradition for all the dons to kiss each other?
Are you a don?
No, I'm a Gregory, but I'd like to be a don.
Okay, now, what's the problem between the families, huh? Don Robinson.
Godfather, I ran all of the gambling rackets on the west side. And Don Perkins here, he ran all of the protection rackets on the east side. And now he want to muscle in on my booze rackets on the south side.
See, Don Robinson, because you try to muscle in on my gas meter standing charge rackets on the north side.
Gas meter standing charge rackets?
Do you know a better racket?
Hey, Godfather, you got to arbitrate in this dispute, or there'll be a war between the families, am I right?
No, Don Robinson, is it not? There'll be a war between the families. There'll be the war between the families, all right?
Sorry, make a good point, Godfather.
Si.
Why do we have to speak the Italian when we was all born in the Clapham?
Because we're the mafia from the Clapham, and we all speak the Italian because who the hell wants to speak like a Derek Jameson, huh?
But Godfather...
Silencio, Don Perkins. And don't you waver your connector with me. I am the Godfather, the Don of Dons. I got the whole of this town in my iron grip.
Time for your cocoa and gingerbread man, Godfather.
Oh.
Then it's off to Betty Buys before the bogeyman gets you. There's a good boy.
Hey, who's this dame?
She's my nurse. Each time I have a heart attack, she give me the kiss. Life. Grazie, nurse, grazie.
Don't be long now, you hear?
Listen, guys, we got the big trouble. The filth that are holding Tony Marino in the safe house. If he gets back to the States, he'll blow the gaff on the whole organization. We got to get it to him first and fit him with a pair of the concrete shoes.
Anna then?
And then he gonna dance like a Lionel Blair. What do you think, salami head? Now, here's what we do, you guys.
Here we are then, Mr. Marino.
Hey, Inspector Starkey, are you sure this apartment's safe? I mean the mafia, they got ways to...
I consider that an insult to the integrity of the Metropolitan Police Force, Mr. Marino.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We may seem like amateurs to you, but be assured we know what we're doing. The mafia won't get within a mile of this place. Now relax. I've got men surrounding the building, and this constable will stay with you as extra security. Okay, constable, take over.
Molte grazie, Inspector. I take good care of Mr. Marino. But first I check outside the windows.
Okay, Luigi, you can start to mix any concrete for the concrete shoes, okay? And make them pretty with the paper fashion.
The first thing that struck me about England was the way the streets had been designed so that when it rains, all the water runs down and forms a huge puddle near the bus stop. My hotel was in Mount Pleasant, but I needed a drink, so the cabbie dropped me in the West End. I legged it around trying to find a beer that didn't taste like sewing machine oil. I had a few years left before my treadle started squeaking. But I drew a blank. I reckon a walk back to the hotel would cure the jet lag. And I bumped into a guy coming out of Madame Fifi's French lesson flophouse and decided to ask directions. Excuse me, bud. Mount Pleasant?
Well, it wasn't too bad, you know. Bit on the expensive side, you know, but what the heck? I'm on holiday.
The hotel was one of those homely English boarding houses. Potted palms in the hall, potted geraniums on the piano, and potted meat on the sandwiches. I went to my room and settled down to watch TV.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to 321.
It was one of those programs you can only watch if you're sitting on a commode.
Yes, I shall. And a French fish, so where if you miss the clues, you could lose a cruise, and you won't grin if you win the bin. Okay, well, let's meet our next wonderful couple then, and you are...
Yes, Ted, I'm David, and this is my wife, Susan.
David and Susan, eh? Well, it's a good job her name's not Goliath, or you two be known as David and Goliath. Am I right? Am I right? Well, yeah, I'm right, aren't I, ladies and gentlemen? Right. Okay, now, David and Susan. David and Susan, your questions are all about books and their authors. I give you the title of a book, and you have to give me the name of the author who wrote the book. In other words, what I'm looking for is the name of the author who wrote the book whose title I give you. It means that when I read out the title of the book, you reply with the name of the person who's the author of the title of the name of the title of the book that I read out. Have you got that?
I'm not sure.
Well, neither am I, and I've been doing this show for 15 years. Am I right, ladies and gentlemen? I'm right, aren't I? Okay, well, I'll give you an example of what I want to get you started. The author of Oliver Twist was Charles Dickens. So I'll start you with that one, Susan. The author of Oliver Twist was...
William Shakespeare.
Oh, my God.
The next thing I knew, it was daylight, and the bedside phone was working overtime.
Chisel?
Yeah.
Inspector Starkey.
What's occurring, Inspector?
Afraid you've had a wasted journey, Chisel. We just fished Marino's body out of the Thames.
You sure there's no mistake?
No, it was definitely the Thames. If you want to ID the body, it's on a slab at the police morgue.
Okay, Inspector, thanks. So Tony Marino was dead, and I had a problem. Do I ship his body back to the States and a $10 funeral? Or leave him here with a chance of getting on the board of the England Test Selectors? Whatever the outcome, my next step was to sniff around at the morgue. Whoa.
If I said you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?
Morning, all. Now, what old Jimbo has gone and done, you see, is I've gone and brought myself down here to the PM, that's the police morgue, I tell myself, situated deep in the bowels of New Scotland Yard, to talk to morgue employee Mrs. Pearl Pugh. So, first of all, tell me, Pearl, what exactly do you do down here?
Well, Jimmy, it's my job to wash all the corpses that are fished out of the river and prepare them for the autopsy. Just hold that up while I get under there, would you?
Yes, I see, and I suppose preparing corpses needs a certain amount of experience, does it not?
Oh, yes. I was Peter Cook's dresser for 18 months.
Incredible. That's absolutely fantastic there. So tell me, Pearl, what brand of detergent do you normally use to wash the corpses there?
Well, I use two brands, actually, Jim. This one for the whites and this one for the coloureds.
Now then, Pearl, now then. Would it surprise you to learn that there is now one powder that will tackle both heavy soiled and delicate stiffs in the same wash, and what's more, leave them close up fresh?
Well, I don't believe it, Jimmy.
It's true, Pearl, it's true, and that's why new improved aerial flash is now recommended by 9 out of 10 funeral directors. So, what do you say now, Pearl?
Well, Jimmy, from now on, it's aerial flash for me. Was that all right?
Another cadaver for you, Pearl, my dear.
Oh, thank you, Randolph. Has rigor mortis set in?
No, I always walk like this.
My word. This one's in a state, isn't he? And look at that pained expression on his face.
He was fished out of the river by the Hampton Locks.
Well, no wonder he's got a pained expression on his face. I suppose I'd better get him washed. Who is he?
There's a label on his toes.
Oh, dear.
What?
The dirt says hot, but the label says not.
No, the other label, my dear.
Oh, it's Tony Marino, the gangster. Look at that. That's disgusting.
It's an old mafia tradition, my dear. It's their way of dealing with those who break the code of silence.
You mean they cut off his nose and stick it in his mouth?
In this program they do, yes.
I suppose you best get started.
I'd had an English breakfast, so I took a rain check on the morgue and legged it straight to Inspector Starkey's office. Inspector.
Oh, come in, Chisel. You've been to the morgue?
No, but I once stood at the cop end at Fulham.
Please don't be sick, Chisel.
Funny, that's what he said on the tickets. You got the autopsy report on Marino?
Yes, death due to tortuous injuries.
Well, any leads to go on?
Just one. While they were pulling out his toenails, he managed to scrawl a message on the wall.
What'd it say?
Ouch.
What bugs me is how the Mafia were able to find him. I mean, he was in a safe house.
The oldest method in the book, Chisel.
Yeah?
They sent him a letter, then followed the postman. You'll be going back to the States, then?
No. I reckon I'll hang around for a few days, lift up the odd stone, see what's underneath.
What's Marianne Faithful got to do with it?
Pardon?
An old gag from the 60s on. Sorry about that, Chisel.
All right. I'll keep in touch then, Inspector.
Wait, Chisel. You might try poking around at the Green Parrot Club in Soho.
Any reason?
No, but that's where Mark Sabre always used to start.
Okay, Inspector, thanks. I realized I hadn't eaten for hours, so I crossed the road to a Wendy Burger joint. Walked straight past it, as you'd expect. I went into a small, Greek-run calf.
Yes, sir. What do you like having, don't you?
Yeah, I'll have the slivers of chopped horse meat in the two pieces of cardboard garnished with a selection of garden compost and slug slime.
Yes, sir. One lamb kebab coming up.
I sat in a booth near the window, wondering why Marino had used his last few seconds on Earth to write the word, ouch, on the wall. Was it simply a scrawled exclamation of pain, or did the word mean something else? Suddenly, I became aware of two guys sitting opposite me. The one with the pink bow tie started to speak.
Ouch, or ouch, as it's pronounced on call, my bluff, is one of those lovely words I can say without wisping. It's a verb meaning to talk very, very slowly.
Arthur?
Well, my darling, the word is pronounced ouch. And... and oh, what wonderful nostalgic memories this word conjures up. Sugar-coated recollections of those happy times at prep school when the head study rang with the sound of hard willow cane on soft peach-like yet rigidly quivering cheeks of young...
Yeah. Get on with it.
Well, very briefly, my dear, ouch is the surname of one Ruby Ouch, a Chinese stripper at the Green Parrot Club in Soho.
So that was it. I could see the Green Parrot Club was one of those low dives that cater for Japanese businessmen. The entrance was only 4'6" high. Inside, it took a few minutes for my eyes to adjust to the flock wallpaper. And over in the corner, I noticed Roy Hattersley and his wife enjoying a quiet candlelit dinner for seven. I got a table near the dance floor, the one they always reserve for guys who are just snooping around. Ordered a Jack Daniels, lit up a Lucky, and waited for Ruby Ouch to come on and do her thing.
Keep going, Godfather. Just a few more. 27. Come on. 28. 29. Again, come on. Just one more. 30. Well done, Godfather. That was very good. And now the other eyelid. What's that you say, Godfather?
I said news headlines 1978.
Godfather?
Dan Smith.
Godfather, there's a serious plot twist in the Tony Marino case.
Plot twist?
Yeah, it seems he wrote a secret dossier on everything he knew about the mafiosa.
We gotta destroy this evidence, Don Smith, before it gets into the hands of the...
Excuse me, Godfather, it's 3:00.
Huh?
Time for your heart attack.
Oh.
Come on, there's a good boy.
Oh, very well. Oh!
There you are. You're alive again. Now, I'm going now. I'll be back in time for your stroke at 4 o'clock.
Stroke?
It's about all I can manage these days.
Godfather, Marino's dossier is in a luggage locker at Victoria Station.
And the key?
He gave it to his girlfriend, Ruby Ouch. We got to get her to her before Chisel.
Wait, I got a better idea. We let Chisel get her the key first. And that give us the good excuse to have her the car chase to Victoria Station.
Oh, I see.
Ruby finally made her appearance. And boy, what a size. She was so big, she was probably the only dame in London who knew by instinct where elephants go to die. She trundled under the floor, followed by one of those spotlights they used in the war to track German bombers. The routine lasted for 5 minutes. And like all Chinese dancers, her intricate body movements told a story. My interpretation may be wrong, but to me she looked like she was changing a tire on a JCB. She finished her act to an enthusiastic round of apathy, then disappeared into the back through a bead curtain made of beer bottle tops. I stubbed out my lucky and followed. Ruby Ouch!
Hello.
She was wearing a kind of loose tank top decorated with Chinese flower petals. When she bowed in polite greeting, she made the Hanging Gardens of Babylon look like a neglected window box.
Hey, what do you want?
I got bad news, Ruby.
I already know. I read it in paper.
Paper?
Here, look. Carry Monteith to get another ceiling.
My news ain't that bad, Ruby. It's Tony Marino. He's dead. Murdered.
Tony Marino murdered? The horrible. How he get murdered?
He was flown in liver. Oh, gurus, you got me doing it now. Ruby, I need your help to find out who... I stopped in mid-sentence. From the corner of my eye, I'd seen the drapes twitch. And experience told me that drapes don't just twitch on their own. They need someone behind them to make them twitch. I drew my gat and silently inched towards the drapes that twitched. Every nerve end tingled like a red-hot needle as I cautiously reached for the drapes and suddenly flung them open. Okay, you.
You want a shepherd?
Need a shepherd. I turned back to Ruby, but in the commotion, she'd hightailed out of the door. But why? Why should she run out on me like this?
Go on, Compton. Tell him.
Tell him what, Melissa?
Tell him why Ruby ran off.
Melissa, I can't just stand up in the audience and interfere with the plot. I'll get slung out. And I want to stay in and watch a recording of the law game.
Compton, it's your duty to help
him. Keep your voice down. Everyone's looking at us.
Very well, Compton. If you won't tell him, then I will.
Sit down, Melissa.
Here, hold my Maltesers.
Oh, Melissa.
Excuse me, Mr. Chisel.
Suddenly, a dame in the audience caught my attention. Yeah?
Ruby ran off because she's got the key.
What key?
The key to the locker at Victoria Station.
You mean she wants the dossier so she can sell it to the highest bidder?
That assumption could be deemed correct, yes.
Gasp. This plot's got more twists than a long snake carrying a box of corkscrews up a spiral staircase on a helter-skelter.
What?
Well, I've had a long day here. Anyway, thanks for the information, ma'am.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Compton, how many Maltesers have you ever...
I rushed out of the club and into the street just in time to spot Ruby climbing into a cab. I was about to call on myself when I felt the goodnight kiss of a blunt instrument hit my skull and the lights went out. Someone had tapped me into dreamland. I came round within minutes to see a British bobby leaning over my prostrate form.
You all right, sir?
Yeah, yeah. What happened? Who hit me?
Well, it was me, actually, sir.
You?
Oh, yes, I'm awfully sorry, sir. I thought you were black.
I arrived at Victoria and my luck was in. There was Ruby at the locker. Okay, Ruby. Be a good girl and hand over the key.
Chisel. Ha! There's no way you can slighten me, Fratfoot. No way!
Oh, no? What if I told you I can pull a face and look like Janice Long?
That's below the belt, Chisel. Here, take the key.
Thanks, Ruby.
Corner your move, Chisel.
Done, Godfather.
I'll take that key if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah? And who can you do?
Clive James.
Okay, you win this time, Godfather. Here.
Let's see.
The game's up, Godfather. I'll take that key.
Inspector Starkey. I warn you, Inspector, I'm not like the others. I don't scare easy. Now, who do you do?
Bonnie Langford.
Take the key. Take the key.
He's having a heart attack.
Goodness, is that the time?
Someone's got to give him the kiss of life.
Oh, somebody call.
Molto grazie, Gregory. You're saving my life.
Oh, my pleasure.
My flight had been called, and Inspector Starkey walked me across the tarmac to the waiting aircraft.
Thanks for your cooperation, Chisel.
Thanks for what, Inspector? The locker was empty. There was no dossier.
There never was a dossier, my friend.
No dossier.
We don't need one because Tony Marino's not dead. He never was.
Not dead, but that guy in the morgue.
A lifer from the scrubs. We disguised him to look like Marino and took him to the safe house.
You mean they killed their own man?
Yes. You were brought in to act as a decoy while we got the real Marino out of the country. Right now, he's singing his socks off to your district attorney.
What about the blonde nympho, the fat Dutchman, and the Maltese candelabra?
We had to cut that bit. It was too rude.
So the ends are tied up, Inspector, and you've got the British Godfather behind bars.
Thanks to Gregory giving him the kiss of life.
Yeah. You know something, Inspector?
What's that?
I think that could be the start of a beautiful friendship.
You've been listening to a paperback edition of Hudwinks, starring Roy Hudd, with Denise Coffey, Chris Emmett, Fred Harris, and David Goodison. The Italian accents were lent to us by the staff of Gino's Trattoria, and the show was produced by the godfather of Langham Street, Jonathan James Moore.